So God has been good to you. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. God has been extremely good to me. I do believe, have you ever been at that state where you just knew that the devil was trying to kill you? No, I'm serious. You knew that he was literally trying to kill you. Driving, it was raining in Tallahassee. I'm driving along and I'm driving with my adopted son. B, I see you. Yes. Driving with my adopted son. And as I'm driving, I hear a semi truck coming behind me. You know, when you hear it, you can hear it. You can hear it. It's something that you know. Some things you don't need to see. Some things you just know. And as I'm driving, all of a sudden, something goes boom against my car, against the back driver's side. And we start to spin in the pouring rain. And as we're spinning, have you ever been in that state of mind where you know that there's nothing you can do? There's nothing I can do. And at this point, when I believe that I'm going to die, because why do I believe that I'm going to die? We have spent around at least twice. And as we're spinning, we go into the other side of traffic. But it would have that God would just have us go behind the red taillights and in front of the oncoming lights. So he set us right in a pocket. And I looked and I said, it was not me. It was only who? But I'm not going to lie. I'm from Opa-locka. That man done hit my car. So I turned and asked, just like David said for the Amalekites, Ziklag, Father, shall I pursue? I ain't getting no answer, so I took that as a yes. And I looked at my son, and I say, let's go get him. I went, and let's say there was a convincing way to slow him down. Amen. And I'm here. And then the next week, I went to go speak in Macon with Tony McClendon. Into my lane comes another semi. I had to swerve out its way. And I'm like, what is going on? So I swerve out his way, but I didn't have to pursue him. I just stuck up one finger to him. I say, I'm praying for you. I want to let you know. Y'all got to know what finger I'm sticking out now. So last week, I spoke in Atlanta. And what happens again? Another truck almost cuts me off. And I'm like, Lord, you got something to say to your people. Because when God is on your side, it don't matter what semi, doesn't matter what thing can be dropped from the heavens, it doesn't matter what, God has got your back. You are all right. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I just want to thank God for this afternoon, and I just want to give a couple of pleasantries. Just want to say thank you to your pastor for allowing me to be here today. Your pastor is truly a friend of mine. P, when I ruptured my Achilles, I was at South Atlanta camp meeting. I was speaking for them that whole week. Pastor Bushner came in that weekend, and he was speaking in one service, not speaking in another. And I said, look, I can't get around. Do you know he became my personal nurse and made sure, took me around, waited on me with crutches. Wait a minute. He took care of me. That's what your pastor's done for me. And so many other things. And I got my family here with me today. I got my eldest brother. What you looking around for? I'm starting with you. You it. I got my eldest brother, Pastor David P.A. Can y'all just give him some love? Can y'all just show him some love? And his grandson, Peanut. I got my middle brother, L.T., Lawrence Thompson. And Sister Sterling, this man is anointed by God. Bring him for your youth. You get his number after this. He's anointed by God. I'm telling you it is. I wouldn't stand up here and lie to you. He and his family, he can be used right here. I'm telling you. And then I got my brother from Oakwood. I got my brother, B.K. Woods. Glad to have you here. Amen. And can I just give my family some love? But we're going to get into it with no delay, because we've got to understand something today. That first and foremost, I need you all with me. If you're with me, say amen. If you're with me, say amen. All right, now I don't need to pull it out of you. I need you to come with it. Are you understanding me? It's not for me, it's for God. Amen? All right, we have to understand. Let me tell you something. We need to understand that we need to be a community. Amen? We need to be a community. Crossing over gender, crossing over religious preference, crossing over hierarchy and education, we need to be a community. Amen? It needs to be us. Amen? It needs to be a we. Amen? But most of all, we need to have a connection with God. Our sermon title today is entitled, If is a Because. If is a Because. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, you talk, I'm a vessel. In Jesus' name I pray. Let everyone say, amen. Amen. As we look, God is looking for people who are together. God is looking for people who are with him. Amen. When we consider Christians are leaders, do we believe that? Do we believe that Christians are leaders? Do we believe that Christians work in the community? As he got up earlier showing you, putting together 100 bags for the community, that's what we ought to be doing. We also know that Christians are one that when we come into a challenge, we know who to go to and how to go to God. We know that when we go to God, that God will give us guidance. Can someone say amen? So therefore, with us being leaders in the community, with us helping the community, and us knowing who to go to, it seems like everything should work perfectly, but it doesn't. Let's be honest. There are times when we have problems spiritually. Does anybody here have problems spiritually? Trying to get closer to God, trying to stay connected with God. Is there anyone here that has problems at work? Anyone here has problems with their family? How about anybody in here have financial problems? Can you say amen? Amen. Say amen. Amen. We have some financial problems, but the issue comes in when we try to do things on our own. When we try to separate ourselves, this is the person that comes by and says, I don't need y'all. Have you ever heard someone say that? I can do it all by myself. Y'all didn't bring me into this world. I'm not dependent on y'all. It's me and by myself. I depend on me and nobody else. Don't you know how dangerous that is? I don't cry. I don't struggle. I don't need you. It's by myself. And these are the people that wind up being the most paranoid because they don't have a support system. They don't have a prayer partner. They don't know a God. And they, most of all, they don't have a community of Christians that can show them some love. And this is why they start looking around. And then what they do is, because they have issues with one, they want to blame the whole. That's the person that doesn't come to this church anymore. They have problems with one person, but says it was MOH that had the problem. This is what happens from time to time. And because things like this happens, we find ourselves in a serious plot. This is what happens. When you separate from the herd, you find yourself susceptible. Have any of you ever seen pack animals hunt? Yes. How do pack animals hunt? They follow the herd. What they're looking for the sick, they're looking for the weak, and they're looking for the old that can't keep up. And once that one separates itself or can't keep up, the pack animals slowly come in, surround it, and when the herd is out of sight, when the herd is out of the hearing range, that thing becomes prey. And when it becomes prey, it then becomes devoured, and that's just how the devil hunts us. He waits for us to separate ourselves just because of one little thing went wrong. Somebody said something to you, and now you all in your feelings. Don't you know any place that you're going to get hurt is the place where you don't think your guard should be up? You come to church and say, I'm coming to church. Everything will be all right. No, it's not. Church is on earth. Let me just say it like this. Where does sin start? Heaven. If sin could start in a perfect place, what do you think could happen at MOH? But yet we want to hold the church to substandards. Why? Because we have thin feelings. We have to recognize that God is trying to toughen us up. God is trying to work with us. But we cannot separate ourselves from the herd. We must work together in Christian love, in Christian unity. We must be bound together with cords that can't be broken. But when you want to go off on your own, that's when there's an issue. Don't you know that that is only your testing? So as you do not separate yourself. And this is why people will tell you right quick, oh, I don't need y'all. You know why? Because my physical ability, because of my position, because of where I work, because of my education, because of my money. I don't need y'all. That's why I did it all, so I don't have to depend on nobody. But no, let's just be honest. Your physical ability isn't always going to be what it is. Your position, people don't even respect that. Your job, they don't like you, and you don't like them. Can somebody say amen? And y'all supposed to be Christians. And what, your education? You went to school all that time, and now you've gone to school all that time, and now somebody comes out and gets a 6-week AI certificate, and they making more money than you. And your money, let's be real, you ain't got no money. But this is what happens when we separate, and I'll show it to you this way. Let's look at the life of Samson. We're going to do the life of Samson in 3 sentences. How many sentences?
3.
How many?
3.
Here we go. Sentence number 1. When Samson was mentally and physically connected with God, he was good. Yes. Sentence 2. When Samson disconnected himself from God physically and mentally, he had issues. Lost his eyes, didn't he? Sentence 3. When Samson reconnected himself with God, his mental and his physical strength returned. He recognized that he couldn't do it all on his own. Notice, Delilah had nothing to do with this. She was a byproduct. It was Samson and his relationship with God. So I'm asking you today, where is your relationship with God? Where is your relationship with your fellow man? We must be together. First, we must unify ourselves with God. Then we must unify ourselves with man. When we do so, we've got a support system that can't be beat. I work in a prison, and these men asked me to come to a meeting. BK, they said, can you come to this meeting? I said, sure, I could come. When I got there to the meeting, now I just want to tell you this. These men want to holler. It's called Faithful Fathers. A guy walks in, everyone is seated just like this. Matter of fact, they'll tear the roof off this place. They don't have to keep asking for praise. They don't have to keep asking for hand claps. They don't have to ask for that. When he calls the creed, that's it. Everybody to the top of their lungs, he walks in and he just simply says, who are we? And they say, we are men. Who are we? We are husbands. Who are we? We are fathers. Who are we? We are brothers. And they say it again, and it gets louder and louder and louder because they're unified. One gentleman simply stood up and testified. This was his testimony. Because you know what they told me? They say, take a message to the outside for us. I told him I'm speaking. They say, take a message for us. This gentleman got up and spoke. Read a letter of his daughter forgiving him. So let me just say, some of us who are having issues with our children, you got to come to a point where you go through forgiveness. Are you hearing me this morning? If you're having problems with your children, you got to go through some forgiveness. Drop all that. P, he read a letter from his daughter who saw him last as a free man when she was 3 years old. She doesn't even remember seeing him free. When he ended the letter, this is what he said. He said, my daughter is now 41 years old. Do the math. By the way, most of these gentlemen are doing life. They will never see the street again. Never sit next to their family in church. Never go to dinner with their family again. Never have Christmas with their family again. But yet, why are they full of life? And they've got life. Here's the situation. I'll just sum it up like this. This is what I believe. They're physically in prison, but mentally free. Many of us are sitting here free, but mentally enslaved. Because we take for granted of what we have. We've got to get to the point where we love family, where we understand family. And even when they do some things that are straight up crazy. Look, let's be honest. We got some crazy people in our families. Say amen. Amen. You know, and you might be one of them. That's the one that comes late, complains about everything, and takes food with them and ain't cooked nothing. But this is what we've got to understand. And these men walk around with pride. They have a whole support system. And when the man stands up again to call the creed, who are we? They get ready to stand up. And this is what happens. They applaud each other every time one gets up and testifies about their family. About all they can say is, I talked to my son. I hadn't talked to him in 2 years. The place goes wild just because the man talked to his son for 5 minutes, supporting him. What would we do if we would just pray with one of our fellow church members, one of our friends who have lost a connection with their children just for 5 minutes alone? This is where we need to understand how God is and what he wants of us. We think, you say, I don't have the strength. The strength does not come from you. The strength of forgiveness does not come from you. It comes from God. The reason why you have so much problem forgiving somebody, because you don't believe God has forgiven you. And because you have a guilty conscience, now you don't want to push that off on somebody else because of your guilt, your sins, and your unbelief. When in essence, all we need to do is say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I trust you. I claim you as my Savior, and God will forgive you. If anybody believes that, say amen. Amen. Those that were in the Bible, they did not depend on their own strength. They depended on the strength from God. Could the issue be that we think that the strength comes from us? Watch this. I prayed, therefore I have strength. I fasted, therefore I have strength. Some things only come through fasting and prayer. We know that. But you think it's through your fasting, through your faith. No, your faith and your fasting has to be connected to God. Look at what happened with David. When David went to fight Goliath, that was God's strength. When Daniel was in the lion's den, God's strength. When Esther went to Xerxes to tell her on Haman, God's strength. When Joseph had been betrayed twice, God's strength. Now, I ain't gonna lie, I got a little petty in me. I got some petty in me. Y'all gotta pray with me with that, because if you do me wrong, that doesn't set right with me. I always ask Lord, you know, Lord, are you sending me to get back? And I don't wait for an answer because I assume he's saying yes. No, because if I was Joseph and Pharaoh told me, he said, you are now second in command, and he put the pinky ring on me, I said, wait, hold up. I'm second in command. Everything, I'm good. He said, only on the throne height. He said, you can do what you want. I said, what? Boy, I would have gotten me a limousine chariot full of black Arabian stallions, about 8 of them. Got a chariot, got a servant. Come on, let's go. Let's ride through Egypt. Wait a minute, let's stop at this house. Well, whose house would this be? Mr. Potiphar's house. Get out and say, yo, servant, ring the doorbell that I used to do. Bing, boom. He came to the door, Mr. Potiphar came to the door. I'm like, shut it. Pinky ring, girl. See, you know what? You ain't want this. You wanted this 200 pounds of dark chocolate, but this 200 pounds of dark chocolate didn't want you. And now for that, you send a brother to prison. So you know what? I'm going to let you know when I go around, when I come back, if I say boo, you jump. And then you got to kick the kick on them. You best believe that. Because that's who I am. David, Daniel, Esther, Joseph, they all depended on God's strength. Have you ever been in prison? And I'm not talking about prison with air conditioning, prison with cable. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you fighting over your food, you sleeping on straw, and there is no light of day. There's nothing there but time in your mind, and that's why some people go crazy. But we've got to understand, but let's go to the Bible. I've spoken long enough. Let's go to a Bible. Let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 31. Now, this is a verse that we all know. We know this verse, but I want us to look into this verse and find something new today. Every time you open the Word of God, you've got to find something new in the same scripture text. And yes, Miss Sterling, surrogate mother, let me tell you something. I don't even like driving from Miami to Orlando. But every time she called, my mouth would try to say no, and it would be like, yes. Does she do that to y'all too? Okay. Am I lying? I'm trying to say, it don't even work. So when she called, I said, when you need me. Here we go. Now watch this. Now, if y'all hear me, I want y'all to read this with me, and don't have me to ask you to read it twice, because we on the same page. Amen? Amen. No, see that? Now we not together. Amen? Amen? All right, man, y'all got to say amen like y'all believers. All right, here we go. On the count of three, we're going to start. One, two, three. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall what? All right, let's step right there. Here we go. Let's just break it down here. Understand this. Notice here that it says those that wait on the Lord. So first of all, you got to wait. Why are so many things messed up in your life? Because you ran ahead of God. When you ran ahead of God, then you wanted him to fix it because you got out there by yourself and realized you didn't know what you were doing. Then you want to pray. Then you want to fast. Then you want to admit you messed up. But he was trying to tell you to wait the whole time. So sometimes it's just good to wait. Now we just move on. We're just going to go through this quickly. Notice it says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Now notice here. We've got a verb here, and that verb is shall. That is what you call a model verb. A model verb sits next to an action word. In other words, it's preparing you for what's going to happen in the future. You got me? All right. So shall means it's going to happen in the future, and whatever's happening at the shell, we got four shells in here. That means it's action. You got that? If you got it, say amen. Amen. If you got it, say amen. Amen. All right. Here we go. So now it says, they shall mount up on wings, so it's going to happen. Eagles are apex predators. That means they have no enemies. Wouldn't it be good not to have any enemies? Like this elderly lady that was at a funeral. Pastor, anybody here doesn't have any enemies, raise your hand. She raised her hand. He said, ma'am, you didn't understand. I said, anybody in here doesn't have any enemies, raise your hand. She raised her hand. He said, well, come up. She said, I want you to explain to us how you don't have any enemies. She says, easy, they all died. All right, so here we go. So here we go. Eagles are apex predator. That simply means they have no enemy but man. Or when the nest is left unprotected, then someone can bother the young ones. But God here, notice this. He didn't make us sparrows. He said his eye is on a sparrow. But he didn't say he protected the sparrows. He says his eyes on them. Now, that means like, he protects everything. But he says, they shall mount up on wings like eagles. In other words, God is not going to give you any trial that you can't bear. In other words, you are apex predator. Anything coming your way, you can take it out. You can take it out with prayer. You can take it out with fasting. It does not have the power to overcome you unless you allow it. It only overcomes you when you allow, and that's because of our disbelief. Eagles believe, so therefore, you will never see a smaller bird chasing an eagle. You see smaller birds, they flapping like this. They trying to get away from eagles, and eagles just doing this. I got him. They not even moving. They see that little smaller bird like trying to get away, like, oh, here he comes. The eagle's just like, I got him. And if one of them say, oh, please, the eagle's like, it's time. Swoosh down, that's it. Imagine this, you never even saw a little bird trying to get some get back on an eagle. They said, man, that's the eagle that killed your mama. I would get him. The eagle look up there and say, you know what? God going to deal with that. You know, so here we go. Now, so therefore, understand, he has made you, through his name, invincible. Not that you won't have to face things, but it's that every time you face them in Jesus Christ, you can win. And it may seem like you're not winning right now. Many of you are in the middle of some things. You're not winning right now, but the game isn't over. And then it says here, they shall run and not be weary. Wouldn't that be nice to get out there in that Florida heat It's about 1,000 degrees outside, and to run and not get tired, run on an empty stomach and not want to fall out. If you're going out there in that mission field, you better get something in your stomach, a Gatorade and a little veggie sandwich or something. You got to get something in your stomach, because if you're going out there, it says they're going to run and not be weary. Have you ever seen a kid playing tag and the chaser was not as fast as the chased? Have you ever seen that? So the person in front, hey Dr. Taz, the person in the front is running, and as the person in front is running, every now and then they slow down, and when the chaser comes up, they slow down and say, you can't get. You ever seen that? You run around in front, kids trying to chase you, keep going, and then after a while say, you can't get me, and you keep running. Have you ever seen that? And that the chaser after a while gives up. That's what happens every time you are in Jesus and the devil is trying to separate you from her and chase you. Don't you worry, because the devil can't outlast you. When you're in the strength of Jesus, when you're in the will of Jesus, when you're under his wings, there's nothing the devil can do to you that can cause you to slow down or be caught. You just keep running. Don't stop. The problem is sometimes you turn around and look. What happened to Lot's wife when she turned around and looked? You keep going. It says run. It didn't say stay and watch. It didn't even say stay and tease. Keep running. Run in his name. You won't get tired. He'll give you renewed strength every morning. Well, how do I get that renewed strength? You get that renewed strength every morning when you pull up your devotional, when you wake up, because we already know that it's not the alarm clock that woke us up. So when you get that, you turn over. Look, do that before you scroll. If you scroll before you pray, you messed up. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you scroll before you pray, you messed up. Get on your knees first. Pray to him. Make sure that you have a connection with him. Nothing about that phone is going to keep you alive. Mm-mm-mm. Matter of fact, there'll be pictures of you on somebody else's phone. They found them dead. Get on your knees first. Establish that connection with God. Once you establish that connection with God, then that will fortify you for the day. Not the days or the years, because it is a day-by-day walk with Christ. I'll put it to you this way. It's 52 weeks in a year, correct? What if we only had 52 meals? So if that's 365, somebody do the math, I never passed it, 365 times 3, what you got? 365 times 3, what you got? Uh-huh, somebody's thinking. No, he's asleep, he ain't thinking. All right, here we go. So in other words, if you only ate once a week, what would your nutrition be like? Some of us only want to eat on Sabbath. Some of us are only eating today because tomorrow we don't have time. We got time when we're sick. We got time when we need that job. Or when we need that job, we become faithful prayer warriors. Oh yeah, when you're not working, we become a faithful prayer warrior. And then once you get that job, then you get too tired to even come to church because you're trying to work overtime. I can't make it because, in other words, so we want to be, or either we want to stay home and sleep, we want to be tired on Sabbath. How about this? How about switch your tired day to Mondays? I bet you won't miss 8 hours of work. You calculating that. It's going to take from you. Well, what aren't you getting? If you only eat 52 times out of the year, you're lacking in spiritual vitamins. And when you lack in spiritual vitamins, your nutrition gets weak and your bones become brittle. And that's why every time you get on your knees aren't even accustomed to bending anymore. I'm asking us to find something in Christ. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So therefore, all the shells, all the four shells, shall renew, shall mount, shall run, shall walk. God has given you everything. Nothing can touch you. What's going to touch you? And you're an eagle. You're an eagle. What's better than that? There's no bird that's going to beat the eagle. All you just got to do, that's what it is. Eagles depend on wind drifts. Get in the drift, just open your wings. The drift is the Holy Spirit, that wind that's just picking you up. Every now and then you might say, thank you, Lord. Praise your name. God, you're good. You don't even have to move. He said, you don't have to move. I say, I'm just moving because you gave me the ability to. Thank you, Lord. And that's how we need to be. Let's go to our next scripture text. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 43. Verse 41. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Let's see if we have it. If we don't have that, I'll pull up Romans 8, 31. Or if we don't get it, I'll go to my Bible here until you get it. You got it? Okay. Here you go. Now, this is what I want to show you here. Notice this. This verse is two questions. This verse is two questions. And it just simply says here, what then shall we say to these things? What are we going to say about what's happening? Here we go. If God is for us, who can be what? All right, now I need y'all to stay here. Now I want you to understand. I want you to understand something here. The if in this verse here is simply none other than a first-class conditional if. We are accustomed to the if of humans. Have you ever noticed when you want to move and you call somebody and say, well, we're moving on Sunday. Can you help me? The person say, well, I'll come help you if I can find my shoes. You call them and they say, I thought you said you'd come. I told you I could come if I could find my shoes. And they really hid their shoes from themselves. If I'll come if I could do it, I'll see if I can. That's not what this if is talking about here. This if here simply means shall or because. So now, I need us on the count of three to read this together. But instead of saying if, I want you to put since here. You got that? You got that? The second sentence, I want you to put if. Since. You got that? What are we going to say? All right, here we go. On the count of three, one, two, three, let's read. What then shall we say of these things? Since God is for us, who can be against us? It says since. Since God is for us, that means that it's already happened. That means he's doing it. That means it is not a question. Why would you even question it? Know that he is for us. Period. Amen. Done. Since I love you, I will help you. Since you're hungry, I will feed you. This is the sense that God is asking for. And this is where I got my sermon title today. And because. Once again, this is why if is a because. Are y'all ready? So now we're going to change the if to because. We're going to change it to what?
Because.
We're going to change it to what?
Because.
All right. And it says here, on the count of three, let's read it together loud and clear, just like those men in the prison. All right. Here we go. One, two, three. What then shall we say to these things? Because God is for us, who can be against us? It's the because. God is for us. God came to this earth to die because he loved us. God died on Calvary because he loved us. God rose again because he loved us. He's coming back. Why? Because he loves us. He loves you. Why? Because you're his child. He wants you to have eternal life because he's prepared a place for you. Because. It's the if is a because. And because of who he is. What they say, we give him glory. Because of who he is, we give him what?
Glory.
And because of who he is, we give him praise.
Yeah.
It's because. Anything in any verse God has is all about connection to him instead of separation from him. God is looking for that connection to you. So what then shall we say of these things? Since God is for us, who can be against us? What then shall we say to these things? Because God is for us, who can be against us? What more do you need than that? You tell me what more assurance do you need? The only assurance from God that we haven't had yet is his second return. But because you love him, and keep his commandments, we look forward. How many of us are looking to the second coming of Christ? Say amen. You looking to the second coming of Christ? Oh, I want to come. And since he's coming back, I want to be with him. And because he's coming back, I want to ride in that chariot. It's going to be a since and a because thing. Say, well, why are you hanging up here with God? Because he's my daddy. That's why. This is what we must understand. And simply, as is just simply stated here, we've got to recognize that our God can wipe out any giant that you have. Any giant in your life that can, he can wipe up the giant of addiction. He can wipe up the giant of a broken relationship. He can break up the giant. He can beat up the giant of depression, of discontent. He can beat up the giant of unemployment. That's what God does. He beats it up. That addiction you have, you pray to him, that addiction can go. That broken relationship, guess what? Now that you broke up with that person, you see why you're not with that person. They just straight up crazy. Look at that. That depression that you have, that discontentment that you have, he has taken all that and he has broken it down. Why? Because he slays giants in your life because he loves you. And unemployment. Anybody here ever faced unemployment? I did. Anybody here willing to say that you faced unemployment? Yeah, I did. I mean, weren't those times kind of hard? No. My times was so hard that I had to take my family, move out of our house, and move in with my mother and my father into a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom house, and all 4 of us stay in one room. And during those times, Taz, it was like, where was God? And we still come to Pisgah, still sitting in the same place. We had to get our clothes from storage because the clothes couldn't fit in the car. The kids were getting too old for my wife's Mustang. All my kids 6 feet and over. And so imagine, man, when they were young, I mean, they would have been pent up in the car like this. They walk around in the car like they were muscles because they couldn't even stretch their legs out. But it was during that time of unemployment that all we could do was turn to God. And during that time of unemployment, that man right there on the front row helped my family out so much. There were things I couldn't do that he covered me. Why? Because he's a child of God. Didn't ask no questions. Didn't look for a receipt. Didn't ask for no payback. It's because of his heart. And I will tell you this, it's a shame that we have to be embarrassed that we're unemployed. Because no matter what you do, they say you at least have to have something. And believe it or not, BK, when I was unemployed, Dwayne Wallace came over from the Bahamas and caught me on my part-time job. One of my Oakwood brothers came over. We graduated together. Matter of fact, I got a master's degree now. I can't find a job. He finds me working in, y'all remember this store? Sports Authority. I was working at Sports Authority. And he came there and he said, man, what you doing here? Now, I ain't lie, but I didn't. No. Y'all stop judging. Y'all don't even know what I'm going to say yet. I see that one sister writing a note. Look at he. I didn't lie, but I just said, he said, what you doing here? I say, I'm working. He said, why you work here? Because that's what I do. I work. He said, what's it, man, boy, I got my hustle on. He said, and you working here? I said, man, well, where your other job, man? We just need to be focused on right here, right now. We at this job. This is where I'm working. My other job is going. Yeah, my other job is going. Yeah, yes, my job. Don't worry about that. Well, what you did last time, don't worry about that, but I'm working here. Was I afraid to answer because I didn't believe that God was going to answer my prayer when I wanted him to? Or was I just copping out and I'm just going to say, you know what? Or could I just say, you know what? I'm having issues right now. And let me just say this. This is when we need y'all, those who are unemployed. This is when we need each other. Because it is in times like these that we need our, yes, we need our Savior, but yes, we need somebody to hug, somebody to understand, somebody to pray with us, somebody to say, I got you, and no one will ever know. Some people want to help you because they want people to know. I'm not impressed with those people that help people on Instagram and Facebook, and then they post it. They show you the money, boom. Cut their hair, show you that they cut their hair, boom, show you the clothes that they buy. You know, and they pull a tag off on purpose, like, oh yeah. I'm not impressed with that. Because really, spiritually, it should be between you and that person. Not to upbuild, not self-glorification. But it had to get to a point where he would ask me, say, do you want something? And have you ever been to that point where you just had to break down and say, yes, I want it. Yes, I need it. And you think I'm not going to have his back? I'm going to tell you right now, in my darkest hour, how about this? Remember, this is about us and God, us, our relationship, us, God, us working together. How about this? How about if all of us in here actually had each other's back? No, I'm dead serious. You see, because there was Adventist book before there was Facebook. Oh, yeah. Oh, especially if you went to Oakwood. Dude, all something had to happen. Everybody knew. It was around the country already. But how about if we actually went to that corner and we prayed with that sister, that brother, and it stayed there? My wife had some things she was doing for people I never even knew. She didn't even tell me. She was spending my money, but she didn't even tell me. And then it came to be our money. But how about that? How about we look and observe? You know why some people want to make sure that there's fellowship lunch? Because they don't have no food at home. And as Pastor Doggett said, and there's a problem in our church. If Pastor Doggett, it's not me, and I thought it was so relevant, I want to share it. It says, if your church is not smelling like alcohol and cigarettes, there's a problem. Because you know why? We will look and separate. And when we smell the smell, we pray that they don't sit by us. Let's be real. But I'm talking about being a family member to that person that is alone. That's what it is. I've spoken long enough. I promised my wife I was going to speak too long. And I think I'm on point. But she's traveling, but I know she's going to look at the recording. So I want to break this thing on down. I get time. Not only she spend my money, she time me. But we just going to break this thing down. And what I'm simply saying to you all today, if is a because, what then shall we say to these things? All these things. What shall you say to unemployment? What do you say to praying with somebody? What do you say to fasting with somebody? What do you say about having empathy with somebody? What do you say about having sympathy with somebody? Because if God is for us, who can be against us? God does not give you a battle that you can't win. The problem is you're scared to fight. I remember when I went to, you know Norman Wilson Bethany? Yeah. Norman Wilson Bethany, he had a boxing ring about, and he, I said, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to box. And I go up, I tell my dad, it's about 3 o'clock, I tell my dad, I said, Dad, I'm going to be a boxer. He say, son, he say, you sure? I say, Dad, I'm going to go be a boxer. So I went up to the ring, and Norman said, well, he put the gloves on me. He said, well, let me see what you can do. I say, ain't no way. She said, pick somebody out. So, not him. I want to fight him. Put him in the ring. Dude was eating something. He put down his name, put on gloves. I put on my gloves, got in the ring. I'm looking at him like, boy, I'm about to smoke you. I'm that close. I'm about to smoke you. Well, I just start dancing. And they ring, bang, boom. I was like, boom. Then they, boom. Then after a while, they say, man, I was about to jump. I was about to deck him. I picked him because he was smaller than me. The problem is that even when you think it's smaller than you, you still ain't in control, because guess what? You get caught off guard and it'll knock you down. And because you thought you were going to win and you didn't need to pray, you didn't need to fast, you thought you could handle it. Now, it beats you up and you realize, like, dang, I couldn't handle that by myself. I thought I could. That's what happens to us spiritually. Needless to say, I left the house at 3. I was home by 3:30 and I gave up my boxing career. I was done. I was done. I never been in a boxing ring since. But I'm asking, and we closing. Come on, let's stand. We closing. Let's just go. Let's just stand. Let's just stand. I'm gonna do this. If God is for us, that if, once again, that if is a first class conditional. Since God is for us, who, your boss, who, your job, who, they didn't give you that promotion, so what, God got something better, who? No, I need somebody to tell me, if God's for you, who can be God? You are an apex predator. Anybody, anything he's matched you with, you can beat. In Jesus' name. Who? Tell me who. Who can stand in your way when God opens doors? Who can stop you when God gave you favor? Who can take your peace in the storm? Who? Yes, 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 yes. Who can stop you from going uphill when you got weight on your shoulders? Nobody. Who? Tell me who. In other words, why are you afraid? What are you afraid for? You believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, undefeated. Nobody's beat him. So who? Why walk out that door doubting what he has said to you today? Who? 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 Tell me who. Who you fearing? Who you fretting just because you didn't pass that test?
Hallelujah.
Come on now.
Hey.
Who you talking to? Taz, didn't he do it? Taz, didn't he do it? Taz, didn't he do it? Who? He is walking by you. Don't you know that you have unseen angels surrounding you and there's not a perimeter that can't be broken? Who? Let me tell you this. You don't want God asking you questions. Or you want to play that? Ask Job after he asked him about those 42 questions. Where were you? Who are you? Where were you when I created the world? You don't want God asking you questions. All you need to do is go. Let me tell you something. You are an apex predator. He has made you a winner. God will kill any giant that's in your path. He'll close doors that you shouldn't go in. He'll go doors that you should go through. Who? Leave here doubting. Never. Give him a mic. We're going to take time. You're going to ask. And I'm going to just say this. Before Pastor prays. I don't do long appeals because God has been talking to you this whole time. If you want to believe this, anything that's been blocking you, anything that you thought was, God does not exist in the realm of impossible. Are we understanding? If you got something that you need to say, Lord, if it's a because, here's a call, come forward. That's it. I have nothing else. Come forward. Come on. Come on forward. Because y'all coming forward because y'all. Anybody. There we go. I love a connection that I can have with God. When I know that it's Him. And through Him that I am invincible.
In the name of Jesus.
I don't take it lightly. You don't scare me when I'm in Jesus' name. I don't fear you. All I can do is pray for you. Who? Tell me who. Or maybe I might have to say, tell me what. What is it? What? We don't have because we don't believe. God did it for David. Maybe not me. God did it for Daniel. Maybe not me. God did it for Esther. Maybe not me. God did it for Joseph, maybe not me. No, no, no. He is the, He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. And He won't do it for you? Or, I think I know what it is. Some people here may have children that are not here, and they don't even know how they're going to get back. Represent your child today. Come forward. Just represent your child. Come forward. If you got a child that's not here, that should be here, just come forward. Represent that child. Pastor, come on.
Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you've given us your Son as a gift. His sacrifice permits us to be able to call you our Father. Thank you for giving him to us. Thank you for bringing us back to you. But right now standing are those, Lord, who said that they're asking you to take away the fear to fight. As it has been stated to us already, that you have not given us a fight that we can't win. So take away from us the fear to fight. Some of us, we are standing here not for ourselves, but we're standing for our children. You know those things that have come upon them. And for some of them, some of us as their parents have come upon them. And we're asking that you would please make us right first so that we can be better parents, so that we can be better examples, so that we can be better children ourselves. And Lord, please grant healing in our children. So as you are healing our children, heal us. And we ask you for forgiveness of our sins. Father, where we have given up our moral authority, we ask, oh God, that you would please restore it. restore us. Because you are for us. Since you are for us, there is nothing and no one that can stand against us. So in the name of your son, Jesus, you said if we would ask and ask in his name, you said that you were granted. So right now, in the name of your son, Jesus, we're asking, Lord, that you will make a way out of no way. Bring restoration. We take you, Lord, at your word. You said that all we had to do was just ask in his name. So grant it to us. We're going to hold you. You are now, Father, officially on trial. According to your word. So do this for us. Not only for us, but for everyone else that is watching. So that they will give up the fear to fight. And that they will enter the fray and say, in the name of your son, Jesus, do this for us. We're going to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it belongs to you and to you alone. Thank you for the message this day. Hear our prayer. And whatever we fail to ask for, please, oh God, fail not in granting it in the loving and worthy name. And Father, we pray for your manservant that preached his word to us today. Continue to use him. Hold him, Father. Hold him, hold his family. Be with April, Ashley, Deuce. Father, please, station your angels round about them. Be with the leadership of this church and every member. So when we leave out of here, we will be a light in our communities and in our homes. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory for belongs to you and you alone. In the loving and worthy name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Let all the children of God say, amen.
Testing, testing, testing. And just in case, I don't know if you're all on social media. I use social media. I try to use it for the right thing. But if you're on social media, I put out a daily motivational thought, and also a weekly podcast. So therefore, if you want to follow me, I'm at letter J, my last name, then it's space. R-O-L-L-E, R-O-L-L-E, Motivator. And that's on IG, Facebook, and YouTube. So that's J. Roll Motivator. Love y'all, follow me. Love us to converse. Daily positive motivational thoughts. Weekly podcast show in Jesus' name. So once again, that is letter J, put a space, my last name, R-O-L-L-E, L-L-E, and then as motivator. Saints, just believe, trust in God. And let's just give God one more hand clap.